You are now tuning into the No Small Talk podcast, and we're your hosts, Ebony and Sherry, two introverts who actually do enjoy conversations, as long as it's not small talk. And you don't have to settle for small talk either. Change the conversation. We're here to show you how.
With our conversation starters, we want to help you enjoy meaningful conversations and build better relationships in order to succeed in business, life, and in love. We'll show you how to be confident, present, and vulnerable while starting conversations that you enjoy.
Relationships, parenting, careers, money, and wellness are all topics we discuss right here on this podcast. So get your headphones, your cup of tea, and get ready to be inspired to start your next conversation. No small talk.
They cannot do what they want. I got my freedom of speech. Yeah. Get to say what I want. They cannot lock me outside. I walk in right through the front. With a big bag like I'm back. You need to get my respect.
Welcome to another episode of the No Small Talk podcast, where we inspire you to build deeper connections through meaningful conversations. On today's episode, Sherry and I have a special guest and fellow introvert, Marsha B. from Introvert in the City. Marsha is not only an introvert, but also a journalist and blogger, and she is the creator of Introvert and the City, a podcast and lifestyle diary that gives deeper insight on how to maneuver through a world immersed in noise. On her platforms, she talks about everything under the sun, from beauty tips and travel advice to the best ways to combat negativity. And just like us, small talk isn't her thing. Today, we dive into one of our favorite conversation starters, and we're able to really build on the conversation and have deep and intriguing dialogue. We talked about almost everything, from dealing with the pandemic to reflection on our lives and how far we've come. We really enjoyed this conversation with Marsha, and we hope that you do too. Stay tuned.
Okay, Marsha, we're going to just jump right into our conversation starter question. And the question that we have for you today is, what would your younger self not believe about your life today?
Oh, what would my younger self not believe about my life today? My younger self would probably not believe that it actually is this difficult. I think that I have the tendency of making things look easier than what they really are. And that is because I have a slight OCD perfectionist type of complex. So it looks easy. And in the background, behind the scenes, I'm like dying, overwhelmed, tired. But my younger self would probably be like, oh, this is easy. You can do it. Go ahead.
Until reality hits, right?
Right. Until I'm like crying because I'm tired.
Yeah, I think I can relate with that too. Like when I was younger, I said, oh, I want to have 5 kids. My husband and I actually both said when we first met each other, surprisingly, that we wanted to have 5 kids. And we thought that was kind of interesting. And that's kind of how we grew our attraction, like meeting someone else at that age who wants to have 5 kids. And I thought it would be easy. And now that I'm living it, I realize my mother made it look so easy. This is not all it's cracked up to be. It is a lot of work, raising kids, and trying to balance a career. But yeah, I can see how when we're young, our perception of what life is going to be like is so different until we're there living it in real life. So I can definitely relate with that.
I was just going to add to that, that probably having kids would have been something I told my younger self to do in my 20s, opposed to turning 37 and saying, I want babies. And it's not the easiest for me right now because I am a lesbian. So there's a whole missing part that involves a man. You know, I gotta now see doctors and buy sperm and do all these things that at 19, 20, I wasn't thinking about. I just thought it would be easy.
You know, right.
Pregnant, and that would be that. So that would be another thing.
That is interesting because when the question came up, that was exactly what my answer was. I'm not sure if you're surprised, but I was going to say when I was younger, I would not have thought that being 37, I would still not have kids or not be in a relationship. Like, that was foreign to me. I thought it was so easy, right? You finish school, you work, and then that part of your life just happens. I didn't even think about how it was going to happen. I didn't think that I had to be calculated or plan it out. But to your point, Amarsha, now at 37 and seeing that it didn't happen as early or as easy as I expected, I now have to be a bit more intentional about how that happened. So making sure I look at the options that I need to look at right now that's available, such as freezing your eggs and other things like that. Those are things that me and some of my friends who are in this similar position are thinking about and talking about that we did not think we had to think about and talk about 10, 15 years ago. So whoever told us it's going to be easy, lied. Well, not easy for everyone, at least, lied. But I agree. I think, Ebony, you said your mom made it look easy because you have five.
Yeah, we're five also, right? Five siblings.
And I feel like with our parents, they didn't even have the help that we now look to, right? Like, a lot of us in this age are able to afford having a nanny or have someone in the house help and all of that. And those are things that our parents did not have, most likely because they couldn't afford it. I'm not sure they would have even done it if they were able to afford it, but they did this. And I feel like I never saw them complain. I never saw them have a moment of, like, weakness and cry.
They were all together.
And I feel like they partied a lot more together. And maybe because they relied on their community, that was their support, but they partied. They went to school. They held down 2-3 jobs. So they did make it easy. And the crazy thing is, they were even younger than us doing all of this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I know when I was 12 years old, I couldn't wait to be grown. Now, as a grown person, I'm like, adulting sucks. Why did I watch this? Can we go back to when things were easy?
I was actually just thinking about that the other day, like, oh my God, what I would do to be 21 again. But I want to speak to the age thing and having babies, because this is something that I constantly have to tell myself. If you listen to all the doctors and you watch everything that's going on around you, you will be completely discouraged. You know what I'm saying? Right. There are people that are 37, 38, 39, 40 having children. And so I choose to look to that for my encouragement. I've gone to doctors who've been like, oh, you've missed your window of time. And I'm like, well, screw you. Right. Why would you tell me that? You know?
Yeah, you would think they'd be a bit more compassionate, but I've been to a few where they were very just, why did you wait till now?
Right. And it's like, because life, okay? That's right. I have control over my life, but the universe and everything happens in the right time. And I firmly believe that. So I just want you to be encouraged. Like, it will happen. And don't pay attention to what all of these other people are saying, because there are women having babies. I have a friend who just told me that she's pregnant. She just turned 38.
Good for her.
It is happening. It was her first pregnancy. She wasn't expecting it. It just sort of happened, you know, quarantine. Things happen. So be encouraged. It will happen.
Yeah, I agree with you when you say, like, things will happen in God's time, in the universe's time, because we make these plans and we have all these expectations, but everything happens for a reason, and it happens in that way for a reason. I started my family early, I would think. I was in my late 20s when I started having my kids. But I remember when I was having them, I was very low-key envious of people like Sherry and all those other girls. They had their corporate jobs. I'm joking when I say envious. But like, I looked up to you guys and looked at you like, wow, I'm sitting here having all these babies and they're living their dream career, having their dream job. So I think that a lot of times the grass is always greener on the other side. And we don't really appreciate what we have in the season that we do have it. And I've had to learn that over the years. Just appreciate the season that you're in. Everything happens for a reason. And I'm grateful now the way things turned out. It's not easy raising five kids and trying to juggle your own business and stuff like that. But I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to do it. And I think that everyone can find something that they can be grateful for out of their situation, even if it didn't turn out exactly how we planned it to be.
Absolutely.
I agree. Like you said, the grass is always greener. We play this comparison game, not realizing that there are people who are envious of what we have. Like, we're not appreciating our season and our status, but there's other people on the outside wishing to be where you were.
Right.
I know that I was having a boohoo moment one time with my brother. Like, I'm not supposed to be here right now like this, aww, you know? And I was talking about how much I appreciate most of the areas of my life. I am very grateful, but I was so focused on this area that was not going as I expected. And my brother just said, do you know how many people would love to be where you are? Like, mm-hmm, you have a banking mm-hmm career. You know how many people that I speak to who talk about you all the time? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? Me?
Yes.
But it's funny because those same people, I'm looking at them with envy, right? I know when I was not in a great relationship, I was also jealous of the people who were single, right? Because
right,
I wanted a chance to do it over. And I think that that's how life is when you can't wait to the next level until you get to that next level and you're like, this is what I asked for. But that makes life. We're
yeah
all preparing ourselves to what we don't even know, what we're not even prepared for. I was speaking to two friends last week. One is single, like me, and the other person is married with kids. And I don't know how we got into the topic of dating and not being married. And she was just really encouraging me and my friend and praying for us. And she said that she believes that marriage and having kids is a ministry. And sometimes we don't have what we say we want at this time,
mm-hmm,
because maybe we're still being prepared for our ministry. It's better for us to take time to be prepared and jump into your ministry confident than trying to work it out while you're there, right? And when she said that, I thought that was really encouraging and true. The other part of me felt like, what do you mean I'm not ready?
Hey, what are you saying?
God, if I'm not ready, I need you to come down and make it clear and plain and tell me how I'm not ready and tell me what I need to do to be ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think is the hardest part of adulting, Marsha, when you say that you didn't think it was going to be this hard? What specifically?
I've been responsible for myself for a long time. So it's not the responsibilities part, because I moved out of my mom's house when I was 23 and I never looked back. I've always been able to take care of myself. I think for me, my biggest struggle is knowing your potential and just being afraid of it. Like, if I really committed and went as hard as I know I could, where would I be right now? And I think that scares me, because I don't do anything that's half-assed. I put my all into stuff, but I know there are times where I'm like, you actually could be going a bit harder. And that scares me, because it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot to live up to. I know I can pay my bills. I know I can pay my rent. I know I could do this, but can I make this business pop? Can I take my brand to the next level? How hard do I have to go to be able to be this million-dollar business that I want it to be? And that's what scares me. That's the part that I was like, oh, God, this is actual work. I got to use my brain today. I can't sit down and have a drink, because there's always work to be done. And it's just like always meeting that expectation that you make for yourself. And it's a lot of pressure. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to be successful.
How would you advise the young girl who is planning her future out now and saying, this is what I want to be, or this is what I want my future to look like? How would you advise her to manage her expectations?
I would honestly tell the young woman who wants to create this life for herself to not be so afraid of failure, because that's where you learn. You don't learn anything when you're doing everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. And that's been the lesson for myself. Like I said, I'm borderline OCD perfectionist, and I have to learn to relinquish that control so that I can allow myself to mess up so that I can learn a lesson.
Right.
I used to write for a publication when I first started writing long, long ago. And it wasn't challenging for me because everything I wrote, they were like, this is great. This is great. You're so awesome. This is great. And so I didn't learn anything. And I would just write these pieces, and sometimes they weren't perfect and they weren't the best, but they loved them. And then I started writing for Fashion Bomb Daily, and Claire would rip my pieces to shreds. And she would be like, I don't like this, I don't like that. And that's when I learned.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, okay, so you've been doing this and you need to stop doing that. And it was in those critiques that I was like, okay, I'm getting better. And so I think not being so afraid of failing and embracing it a bit, just so you make room for you to learn a lesson and prove and become better, I think that that's important.
That's so funny. I didn't know you wrote for Fashion Bomb Daily.
I was actually a part of her team back in, I believe, was it 2017, maybe? I wrote for her for like a year and a half. And I learned so much. I learned so much. But it was also a very pivotal point in my career because it made me realize, like, I don't know if I want to write fashion anymore. It just wasn't fulfilling for me. And that's actually what led me to Introvert in the City. It was like leaving this field where everyone's so superficial, and as an awkward black introverted girl, I did not fit in with the fashion people at all. I was in the room at award shows and album releases and in the room with people that you would want to be in the room with. And I hated every moment of it because, like, well, I don't know how to talk to these people. I don't know how to mix and mingle. And now I'm standing in a corner on my phone and I'm not engaged. And this just is not for me. So that's what led me to launch Introvert in the City, because I felt like, well, this is going to be a more authentic platform where I can reach people who aren't obsessed with how they look and treat people nicely because that's the right thing to do. You know, in a place where Black women can share resources and not be, well, I don't want her to get ahead and I don't want her to know where I got this and I don't want her to know where I got that. Like, no, this is a big world. We can all win.
Right.
And we can share resources and we can all make money and we can all do this together. It doesn't have to be a me against you type of thing. And that's how I felt fashion was.
Yeah. Right. When you are in a room full of inauthentic people and people who are not really looking to share resources, and it's hard for you to make those connections. And so it's easier for you to just hide in the corner, like you said, right? And stay on your phone. And we talk about this a lot on the podcast and even on IG with our posts. Socializing and getting to know people becomes much easier when you're in a room with people who also are interested in being authentic and interested in having those connections.
Right.
And by you creating Introvert in the City, you're going to see that you're going to be able to connect to a lot more people on a deeper level now that you're being authentic and sharing your truth and standing in your truth. You'll definitely be able to reach more people in a positive way. So that's great. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so what about you, Sherry? What would your younger self not believe about your life today?
Aside from what I mentioned about the marriage and kids, I would not have imagined that I would be living in a pandemic, like a global pandemic.
Right.
I would not have imagined that we would, as a nation, be going through a pandemic that is COVID and then a pandemic that is racial injustice, right? I just would not have thought about this, especially as late as January 2020, this is not what I thought we were going to be experiencing. And it has been difficult. It's been difficult because it's just strange and just not understanding the why, especially why it's all happening. It seems like at once, it just feels like each day it gets harder and it's just one hit after another. With COVID, I'm pretty close with my family and I speak to my mother, my siblings pretty often. Even when I came to DC or relocated to the DMV area, I still went to New York City pretty often. There were times when work prevented me from going back home often, but I went often. And then before COVID, the last time I was in New York City was March, like the weekend of March 6th. And that was the last weekend anybody was able to really travel. And I have not seen my parents up until 2 weeks ago since then. And so that was very different. The fact that I was not able to go see my parents out of concern that I might get them sick or they might get me sick was never something that I thought that I would ever have to think about, like not being able to hug my parents or just see them or my siblings. But my siblings and I made a decision that it's just better for us right now at this time to spend time with family, even if it's just with more precaution. So what that looked like was when I got home, for a while I was still wearing my masks in the house, just because I was hypersensitive to possibly exposing my parents, especially because I took the Amtrak. And then when I did see them, we couldn't hug. That was sad.
I know.
That was just sad. You know, my mom was like, social distance. And she's giving me the elbow. And that was just our way of touching each other. But that was really hard. Even when I was in the house, I found myself kind of distancing. So I would stay in an area that was not too close to them. And again, I just think I was so nervous. I went to get my hair done. I still got my perms in New York City. And that was a decision that I made. I'm like, it may not be the best, but my hairstylist, I'm comfortable with all of the steps she has taken to make sure we're all safe. But because I went to the hair salon, I made sure I shortened my trip because I didn't want to be home too long after going to the salon, again, being afraid that I would expose my parents. So the concern or the thought that if I go to the hair salon and I, God forbid, expose myself, let that be me. I don't want to carry that to my parents or my sister at home. But that's not something that I would have ever thought that I had to think about, right? And so this new way of thinking and this new way of living and this new way of interacting with each other, specifically the people that we call family and our loved ones, that has been something that's been hard for me to adjust to. And even the thought of parents not even being able to interact with their grandkids the same way, it's just sad.
It is.
For me, everything is happy-go-lucky. Everybody hugs, everybody kisses. And the fact that we can't do that, and I don't know if we're ever going to get to a place where we feel comfortable doing that. I think COVID has really put a lot of fear in a lot of us. And we're not only thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about the other people that we come into contact with in new ways. That's been a paradigm shift for me. And again, the second pandemic was the racial injustice. I know growing up, being in New York City, when the Amadou Diallo case came up, I thought that was a one-off. I thought Amadou Diallo, I thought Rodney King was a one-off. You know?
Yeah.
That was in the 90s. I would not think that in 2020 we are still chanting Black Lives Matter and having to explain why Black Lives Matter. And Ebony and I, we've had a few episodes on this on the podcast talking about it, but the fact that we're still protesting and we're still demanding justice and we're still trying to explain why certain structures in place currently needs to come down because it's creating barriers for Black people to live and live with peace and to live with joy and to live with equal access. Again, just having to explain that, why are we still having these discussions 20 years later baffles me. So these are the things that I've been thinking about lately. The 10-year-old me would not think that the 37-year-old me is living in this world at all. At all.
It has been a crazy, very crazy time. But I actually credit the pandemic for the relaunch of everything that I've been able to do with my brand. I think that a lot of people worked so hard to just find the what next. It sort of forced people to like make decisions that they maybe didn't think they had to before. Like,
yes.
I need to figure out a plan B because this could be our life. So I think it's somehow, at the very least, forced me to sort of say, well, Marsha, what do you really want for yourself in your life? This can't be it. You can't work at a job that's not putting your health first. Mm-hmm. You need to put your health first. You need to put yourself first. So it sort of forced me to like become creative about how I'm going to live my life and how I'm going to make my money and how I'm going to survive this.
I completely agree with you too. I think Sherry and I did talk about this on a past episode when we were in the thick of it. And that this pandemic really kind of forced us to kind of really like stop and like really reflect on everything. And that can be on how we take care of ourselves, like self-care. It can be how we are with loved ones, those that are creatives and those that are entrepreneurs, really taking this time and using this time wisely to focus on what's most important. Because a lot of times we get caught up in just living our lives, right? And just the hustle and bustle. And we don't really stop and take time to really enjoy living the moment and really reflect, right, on what's important for us. So I think what this pandemic did for a lot of people is it really gave us that opportunity. You saw so many people come out with really great ideas and businesses during this pandemic. People use this as an opportunity to learn. I know a lot of people who've gotten into investing more during the pandemic and just really educating themselves about that whole area and that whole industry. So I think that there are some positives that we could take away from this pandemic. To Sherry's point, will things ever go back to the same where we can hug each other? I think so, with caution. But I do see the brighter side, and I do think that eventually we'll be back to quote unquote normal. But I'm hopeful that it'll be a better world for all of us and that we learn a lot from what happened during this pandemic to improve ourselves as a people in general.
Yeah. And that's what scares me, because I'm not sure if we have.
Yeah. You say that a lot. Yes.
That's what scares me, because
I'm hopeful.
I do think that as scary as this pandemic has been, and both pandemics have been, as disheartening as they may have been, I will say that it has shown that we are resilient. We were able to pivot and pivot pretty quickly in the face of danger and uncertainty. I think a lot of us have proved to ourselves that we can adjust, even if it's uncomfortable.
Right.
That said, I don't think that this is happening in vain. And that is something that I think about heavily, because for me, I just felt like, honestly, things were just getting worse. And in order for us to survive, we had to make the decision individually to just encourage ourselves. But that didn't stop the fact that things on the outside world were hectic and crazy and chaotic. And I find that this really is an opportunity, like you said, Ebony, to really reflect on the things that matter, things that are important. Marsha, to your point, if you are living a life that's unfulfilling, a life that's not purposeful, if you're working somewhere that you don't find meaning, then maybe think about how you change that, right? Because we realize that life really is too short to just be living in it without intention, without purpose, without joy. That said, I find that there are still a lot of people in this fight to get back to normal. They're still doing the things
that got us in this place in the first
place. Yeah, or just things that like not even important right now. I'm just afraid when COVID came, right? I just felt like these are things that you read in the Bible, you read in scripture, like pandemics where whole nations were wiped out.
Right.
Plagues. When reading this, you think that maybe this is a fairy tale, or like, is this true? Could people live in a world where there were plagues that wiped people out? Like, it didn't seem real. And for it to be our reality, it was just like, oh no, is there a message that we are meant to receive? And I just felt like a lot of us weren't or aren't receiving whatever message that's out there for us to receive and learn from. That's just my concern, that if we don't pick up the lessons, if we don't become better, we're just going to be hit with another plague, another pandemic.
Yeah. I was actually just going to post something on Instagram that says pretty much lessons in life will repeat until they are learned. And I think that that's pretty much where we are. It's like, okay, well, if you don't shape up, this is what's going to happen. And it's funny, I went out, I don't go out often, but I went out with some friends yesterday and we went out to eat, you know, we all had our mask and we're walking around in Williamsburg, and like just the amount of people that were out with us in general, and then like crowds of people, no mask. And I'm like, okay, well, this is, and then even as I'm leaving, it's a balance. I'm like hugging my friends goodbye, and I don't want to or know how to live in this world where you can't hug your friends goodbye.
Right.
You can't do stuff like that. It's still an adjustment. I think a big part of what is needed is, and I say this in general, but also to myself, because in one sentence, I'm shaming people for being out without mask. And then the same, I'm like, yeah, but I hug my friends goodbye. But we also
know how to do this. We're still trying to figure out how to live this
way. Right.
And
this is very new to us. It's such a new thing. And it's like, okay, well, you want to give people grace, but then it's like, no, but put your mask on.
Right.
Yeah. So it's so new.
It is.
And different. Is.
So how would we prepare the younger version of ourselves for a potential pandemic? How would you have advised your younger self?
It's an interesting question. And I can't say that I was 1000% prepared, but I also wasn't unprepared. So I have food in the house. It got me through, you know. I had toilet paper. I think the real preparation for me was mentally, like, are you prepared to be home all day?
Right.
Are you prepared to like not have people over, not be able to have your partner over, not be able to commune with people? Not like that was more jarring for me. Now being home all day, I absolutely love it. I had no issues with that, but it was the adjustment of, okay, well, just because you're home all day doesn't mean that you don't shower. It doesn't mean that you, you know, brush your teeth. It doesn't
you don't wear real clothes.
Breakfast is not at 3 o'clock now. It's still.
I know, right, Shari?
I was doing that a lot in the beginning of COVID.
Shari was having 2 o'clock breakfast. I'm like, seriously?
I still do it. I clock in for work at 8:30. I wake up at 8 o'clock, and I literally wake up at 8 and probably get out of bed at 8:20. So it's readjusting. That was the most jarring for me, and trying to not fall into a depression from not seeing the sun and not walking outside and not being able to hug a friend or just being literally by myself for 30 plus days. When you live alone, you don't have a partner. It's like, oh, I don't see anyone. Like I would only see someone if I chose to go check my mail and someone was in the hallway.
Right.
So these are the things that can be jarring for someone. Let's say if you add the element of depression or mental health issues or anything like that, it can be jarring. Thankfully, it's nothing that I had to go through. But I think for the younger person, I would sort of prepare yourself for that, like, okay, I need a people connection. So scheduling FaceTime conversations with friends. I need to talk. I need to go outside. So maybe you're going outside early in the morning, so you're not in contact with people. Sort of maintaining those socialisms that will help you be okay mentally. I think that's really important.
Yeah. I think for me, I would advise the younger self, have plans, but don't be so wedded or married to your plans that you're not able to adjust when life requires adjustment. I think when it came to COVID, and a lot that has happened in 2020, people mourned plans, right? They mourned plans to travel, plans right. to start a new business. I think that was what a lot of people found difficult with COVID. A lot of their plans were now canceled. People who were looking to start dating more, that was canceled. That was,
yeah.
People who had plans to get married, that was all canceled. And it was mourning their plans and their goals and their hopes and their dreams for 2020 that was not able to come into fruition, or at least not come into fruition the way they originally planned. And I think that sometimes when we're unable to let go and surrender to life and the changes that life brings, it makes that adjustment harder. And I think that that's what I would advise for anything. I think that my younger self, I would just have that ingrained in me in general, because I'm a planner and I like to control what my life looks like and what the end result is going to look like. And I still don't have any problem with planning. I think, though, I need to learn that sometimes your plans are not going to go as planned or as expected. And what do you do next? Don't stay stuck because you can't move the way you thought you were going to move. Think about how you adjust. I think the other thing I would advise is not to take your connections, your friendships, your relationships for granted. A lot of us take those close connections for granted. A lot of us are right. nicer to strangers than we are to the people in our own home, to our loved ones, because we assume we're going to speak to them tomorrow. We assume we're going to see them next week. And COVID came and was like, nope, I can't see you.
Right.
And then when we realized we had to tap into some of those connections, for some of us, it was hard because these were people that we hadn't spoken to in a while. So how do you now call and say, how are you doing? How are you doing with COVID? It was awkward. And for me, it was really a realization that for the people that I say matter in my life, I need to treat them as such and prioritize reaching out to them. And reaching out to them may not be calling them every day, but texting, do right. something. But don't assume that your ability to see them, hug them, touch them is always going to be there.
Yeah. You know what I think, ladies?
What?
I think this was a really good conversation. This is really good. Yeah, it really was.
It really was.
Thank you so much, Marcia and Chevy. And we're going to move into the next segment of our discussion, and this is our roundup segment, Marcia, where we ask you some questions. And the first question that we're going to ask is, if you were on Introvert Island, what three books would you bring and why?
So I would say initially the number one book that I would bring is a book by Joseph Murphy. It's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
It sounds like it's a good book.
Oh my God. It has changed my life. It's changed my life in a way that I think this was probably 2011, going through a mild depression, maybe not even so mild, but going through depression. And I had just got a really bad relationship and a string of just bad dating experiences and unhappy with the direction of my life. And I read that book, suggested by my spiritual advisor. Her name is Janine Owens. And I read that book and it literally shifted everything in my life from that day forward. And it's just really about the power of understanding your thoughts and your language and how you choose to speak about yourself and how you choose to speak about things in the world. changed my life. I suggest any and everybody get it. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. So that is my number one must have. The second book, it's a guy that I follow on Instagram, and his name is Michael Clark, and it's a book that is daily affirmations for entrepreneurs and people who, I guess, millennials, people who are just trying to be something and make something of themselves. And it's called Keep It 100. So it is just 100 different affirmations for yourself. So I will read one of them. It's, even if you lose everything, you still have willpower. And then he breaks it down with like really short stories about what inspired that quote and what made him write that. So I think that would be something I would absolutely read and bring with me. And then the third book would be my own book. So okay. I wrote a book of poetry back. I think I launched it on my 30th birthday. And this was as a result of reading The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. So it sort of comes in a circle for me. And it was just a collection of poems that I had written over the course of maybe 10 years. And it was my first book, and it is phenomenal for me because it was such a huge achievement. So I would definitely bring that along with me.
Where can people find your book if they're interested in finding it?
You know, I'm thinking I may add it to my website. I sold out of it. I never restocked it. I self-published.
Okay.
And so after I sold out, I just never restocked it. And so I'm thinking I may add it to my online store.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So the next question is, what's your favorite No Small Talk conversation starter and why?
So I really enjoy the questions that speak to your younger self, because I think that they provide a type of guidance and wisdom and growth. Like, it's able to show where you've grown, like what you didn't know you needed. And I love that it speaks to like, God, I didn't know I needed that, but I did. This is what I would have told myself, because you can't go back in time. But man, if I would have known that, that lesson. Right. And that lesson would have hit a little differently. So I like those questions.
I do too, because it allows you the opportunity to like self-reflect also. I mean, because we're still growing and we're still getting older every day. So there are going to be other lessons that we're going to continue to learn along the way. But it kind of lets us look at things into perspective from the way we thought and what we thought we knew when we were younger and where we are now. And right. I guess we can use that as a guide to how we move forward in life, how we handle life's lessons as we continue to grow. So I do like those questions as well.
Is there a specific one you have in mind, Marsha?
I think they all in some way, shape, or form force you to like confront yourself and who you are now and who you, like what you thought you knew. So I think there's no specific one that I enjoy, but I know the one that you asked me today about what advice I would give to my younger self, and just really realizing you just don't give yourself enough grace is one thing. It's like, chill out. You don't have to have it all figured out. Just anything that will make me think that way and honor myself and where I am in life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think today's conversation starter was exactly that type of question.
Yeah. Definitely. And the final question, how can people connect with you after the show if they wanted to learn more about you and what you do?
Okay, so I have a couple of platforms. I am on Instagram, introvert, the letter N, the city. So introvert N, the city. And that is also my website, introvert, the letter N, the city. .com. I have just opened a new store and I sell my Mindful Moon deck. And so that can be found also on my website, but the direct website for that is shopintc.com. And then I have the Introvert in the City podcast, which is on all platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, all the major platforms.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Marsha. We had a great conversation and we appreciate you. And to everyone that was listening, you know where to reach Marsha if you want to learn more about what she does and to connect with her. And also, if you want to continue to connect with us, you know where to find us online. And enjoy your week. And remember, no small talk.
No small talk.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the No Small Talk podcast. We are grateful that you are joining us on this journey towards building deeper connections in life, whether at work, with friends, or in love. We encourage you all to continue to be authentic, show up, and live your truth. The road towards building deeper connections is no easy one, but it is very necessary. Remember, the quality of our life is determined by the quality of our relationships. If you want to learn more about us and also to get some of our conversation starters so that you can begin using them yourself, please check out our website at www.nosmalltalkpodcast.com. You can also follow us online on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at No Small Talk Podcast. Again, have a wonderful week. Be authentic, be you, and remember, no small talk.
Oh my God, I come from a place that goes so hard. I'm not afraid of words, you can bring the war. If you don't want problems, then don't start. Don't start. They told me shut up and dribble. Tell your president, act presidential. Bottom line, I won't keep quiet, not this time, not this time.